This is a reading from the third chapter of Acts. Peter addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 4, found on the bulletin insert or on page 587 of the Red Prayer Book. I'll read up to the asterisk, if you all could please respond afterward. "Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause.
You set me free when I'm hard pressed. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you dishonor my glory?
How long will you worship dumb idols and run after false gods?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful.
When I call upon the Lord,
tremble then, and do not sin.
Speak to your heart in silence upon your head.
Offer the appointed sacrifices,
and put your trust in the Lord.
Many are saying, oh, that we might see better times.
Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart.
More than when grain and wine and oil increase.
I lie down in peace. At once I fall asleep.
For only you, Lord, make me glad.
Please remain seated for the second reading. Julius will read.
This is a reading from 1 John chapter 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hymn 205.
Thank you.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
All the disciples were telling how they had seen Jesus risen from the dead. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands, my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost of flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. How in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah should suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord. Again, early last week, and it actually happens around here lots, in the middle of everything else going on. Early last week, somebody that had just kind of gotten out of jail came by and said, they came by because they wanted to know if they could get a Bible from us, because they wanted to read it. Jail, if nothing else, in case you've never been there, is real. It's a real thing, jail. It catches your attention when you're in jail. And most of the time, it kind of makes you think, what's going on? What am I doing? So he was there, he came by, and he wanted to know if he could get a Bible to read. He's trying to figure out what was going on. People do that once. We have Bibles around in our houses, maybe in the pews, I don't know. We carry them around. I know somebody who puts a Bible under his pillow every night so he'll have good dreams as a prayer. We have Bibles around, and when we get in hard times or hard places or trying to figure out what's going on, we'll pick it up and we'll look at it. Not insignificantly, in these Easter stories, close to the first thing our Lord does is sit down and begin to teach them the story in the Bible, as of this morning. It shows us some things.
that when we go to read the Bible, it's good to say a prayer. I mean, if our Lord has to explain it to Peter, James, John, etc., we probably need his help too to begin to see what's going on. And when he opens the Bible and shows them the story, he shows them how all the story makes sense, how it all fits together. And so you and I will find the pattern of our lives, even if they don't seem to make sense at the moment, making sense in that story that's there in the Bible. In some parts of the Bible, we stumble into them and they just kind of drop deep into our heart and our spirit and become part of who we are. The psalm that we read this morning, for example, is a psalm we say every night at Compline at midnight. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I'm hard-pressed. Have mercy on us and hear our prayer. We say that every night around here at midnight. Many are saying, oh, that we might see better times. And believe me, there's nights when we say that line and look at each other and go, yeah. Many are saying, oh, that we might see better times. What do I do with my life? How do I get through this? What do? Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Which way are we going? Oh, okay. Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other and trying to get through it. So there's lots to find in the Bible. Sometimes I go off in some odd directions. A number of years ago, I got tied up with the questions in the Bible. Questions that God asks. I spent all Lent once. At the beginning of Lent, I bought a notebook, and I sat down and I tried to write down all the questions that God asks in the Bible. It didn't get done. But ever since then, I pay attention to the questions that God asks. I mean, I ask questions of God all the time. I figured out how to pay attention to the questions He's asking me. I can tell you the first question that gets asked in the Bible. It's in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. After the apple routine. And then they hear God walking around in the cool of the evening. So they go and hide because they're afraid and because they're naked. But guess what? You can't hide from God. So God kind of walks up to him. Says, hello. And they explain they were hiding because they were afraid and naked. First question God asks. He says, who told you you were naked? How did you know that? It's only you two and me, and I didn't tell you, and you didn't know the last time I saw you. How do you know you're naked? Who told you you were naked? Who told you there was something wrong? That's the first question. There's lots of questions in the Bible. Gospel of John. Real early in the Gospel of John, Andrew and Philip, or James and John, or somebody, I forget who it is, come up to our Lord real early in the game. And our Lord says to them, what are you looking for? It's always those little questions that are going to get you. What are you looking for? Well, my glasses, I can't find them. They're around here someplace. What are you looking for? He asks. What are you looking for? Similarly, in the Gospel of John at the end, when Mary goes to the cemetery to visit his grave and she's standing there crying, and our Lord shows up and says, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? So I pay attention to questions. And this morning's reading is three questions. Easter night again. Disciples gathered in the room, scared, upset, confused, sad, the way you are when there's been a death. And our Lord shows up and asks the first question. Why are you frightened? Well, why do doubts arise in your hearts? Didn't I tell you it was all going to work out? Why are you scared? But it's the last question he asked the company all week. He looks at them, they look at him, they get scared and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, Dad. No, he didn't say Dad. He looks at him and he says, with the voice of a friend who's just come back from a long journey, he says with the voice of somebody at the end of a long day's worth of work, he says with the voice of your teenage son coming across the kitchen, he says, you got anything to eat? You've heard that voice in your kitchen. You got anything to eat? What kind of question is that for God to be asking? You got anything to eat? Why does he ask that question? You got anything to eat? Have you anything here to eat? Why does he ask that question? So, the first reason to explain it, just to set it aside for a minute, in the early days of the church, as now, there was a lot of confusion and doubt over what had happened on Easter. Well, he didn't really die. Well, people just kind of sat around and remembered him, and that's how he came back. Well, he came back, but he was kind of a big, warm cloud. You know, there were a lot of these kind of things floating around. Kind of like Jesus, the friendly ghost type things. The writers of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the early church are working hard to say, no, look, he died. He was crucified, died, was buried, goes the creed. He died. Look at my hands and look at my feet. Look at the wounds. He died. And he didn't come back as some kind of nice, warm, pink cloud. He sat down and he ate. So that's one thing going on. This really happened. He really died. He really came back. And he's not some kind of weird ghost or something. He came back as our friend. You got anything to eat? Ghosts don't ask that. A spirit shows up in your bedroom, he's not going to say, let's go to McDonald's, I'm hungry. There's something else going on in this story, you see. You got anything to eat? So that's one thing going on in that question. You got anything to eat? Something else going on. Have you anything here to eat? It's a question that makes you stop and think and look around to see what you have. Have you anything here to eat? What's around you? What's around? Have you anything here to eat? We were jailed last Sunday. One thing jail does, just to bring it up again, is you realize all of a sudden what you don't have. You got anything here to eat? What's around? Pay attention. We were through some deaths in the last week. And when death comes, one of the things you realize is who or what you don't have around anymore. You got anything here to eat? What's around? Pay attention. What do you have? Also, if you're feeling guilty, it's a question that will kind of bring you up short. Have you anything here to eat? Well, no. I guess it's not working very well, is it, God? You got anything here to eat? No, I don't have any real stuff. No, I guess not. You got anything here to eat? Why does God ask this question? There's that Old Testament passage, and I can't remember where it is, and somebody will tell me before the morning. where God in the Old Testament says, do you think I really eat cows and drink all this blood? All the cows in the hills are mine. If you want to give me something, give me justice. And the sacrifice of a broken heart. I'm not drinking the blood of cows, for crying out loud. Have you anything here to eat? So why does God ask that question? Because He needs us. He needs us. Have you got anything here to eat? Well, gee, we're kind of poor and short. All I got's a little piece of fish. That's enough. It's the same story, the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people, it's getting late. Oh gosh, say the apostles, you better tell them all to go home. No, go see if they've got any food out there. And Andrew comes back and says, well, there's a little kid with some pieces of bread and dry fish. Not much, man. You got 5,000 people here. That's enough. Just that, that's enough. If you got anything here to eat, God needs us to finish the story. St. Augustine. Hundreds of years ago, when he wrote in the story of his life, without God, you cannot. Without you, God won't. Whatever the little bit we got to offer, that's enough. Beginning of the 9 o'clock service, just to keep telling stories this morning. Beginning of the 9 o'clock service, there was a raven sitting on top of the roof, and then it hopped down. It was sitting on top of the white cross out there, just singing away. And with no disrespect, a raven singing kind of sounds like bad plumbing. You know? But by God, it's Easter, and I'm going to sing. And that raven just sat on that cross and just sang whatever. Whatever we got, somebody's going to sound like bad plumbing. That's enough. If you got anything here to eat, whatever it is, He teaches us that's important to give. Have you got anything here to eat? And to finish the story, the life is about giving. And if there was grief this week, and there was, the death of Buddy, it's because people like that gave a lot. And showed us all that. Have you got anything here to eat? That life is about giving. But know this. I used to know a grandmother, I guess I still do, that was impossible to give presents to. Because every time you gave her a present, you knew a week later she was going to give it to somebody else. You still had to play the game. You had to keep giving her presents for her birthday, Christmas, and Easter, and everything else. But you know, she was just going to pass it on to somebody else. God works the same way. 12-step programs work the same way. Work through the 12 steps. The next thing you're going to do is begin doing it for somebody else. Whatever we have, God would like us to share it. You got anything to eat? You are my witnesses, says our Lord at the beginning and at the end of this story. You have seen what there is to see. You have seen that there are hard places in this life. Look at my hands and look at my feet. Look at the wounds in my hands and my feet. I didn't duck hard places or danger. Don't be afraid. Don't duck the hard questions either. You are my witnesses. The season of spring, of swans and snow and muck and mud. But it's going to be summer. It works out. Okay. Why are you afraid? Why do doubts arise in your mind? Amen. Amen.